And when would my mind become shuddha, pure? And whenever that would happen, then I would be qualified to be in Vrindavan, or then I would see Vrindavan. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhuja Base Jugala Piriti. And you would like to develop attachment to the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, so that Kabihama Bhuja Base Jugala Piriti, so that I could understand, by developing attachment to the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, I will be able to develop devotion to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Shyam Sundar. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahu Mora Asha Prarthana Kara Ye Sada Narottama Dasa. Yeah, again, he wants mercy of Rupa and Raghunath. Always residing at their feet, thinking of their lotus feet. Narottam Das Thakur, Prarthana Karo Ye Sada, always praying like that. And that person praying is Narottam Das. So there are a few. I mean, everything is relevant to what we are doing here. What he says, what Narottam Das Thakur sings, is relevant to our present devotional service, as the Brajamandal Parikrama service. And we would be successful in this mission by giving up the Vishayas, giving up the, or endeavoring to give up ideas of trying to enjoy this material existence, material world. And then we'll be free to concentrate on the business that we have undertaken, business, transcendental business of trying to enter Braj Mandal, try to enter Mathura Mandal. We need to enter Dham, go deeper, that we could experience Dham as it is. I'm sure some of you are wondering, I read that beautiful description of Vrindavan in Krishna book. And that Mathura city. Where are those crystal clear lakes? and the palaces and the lotuses and the swans. There's only smell of some tire burning or something. Huh? Well, so everything is very much here, and it never goes away. It is eternally here. Could something do with the children here, or send them to Prasadam place? So we need to need a vision to see Dham. If we don't have one, we could see through the eyes of the scriptures. We could also see with the eyes of the acharyas. So here we are in Mathura. Mathura Dham Ki Jai. We are not singing. Yeah, so I think what we would do with Mathura is that we could do a little overview of different pastimes. Or in different orders which they took place, and as Krishna's movements as he comes into Mathura and in and out of Mathura. We are in Mathura, so that's the most natural topic, right? Should talk about Mathura? Cannot talk about London or Delhi or... Yeah, Mathura is on everybody's mind. First of all, as we did mention once a few minutes ago, that this is Dham is here, and Dham is here for all the time. There was no time when Mathura and Vrindavan did not exist. It exists now, and it is here for all the time to come in the future. You went to Vishram Ghat today? Yes, Vishram Ghat. Vishram is a place of rest. Resting is called Vishram. So at Vishram Ghat, Lord Varaha took rest. When Varaha, he had lifted earth from the Garbhadak ocean, you know the pastime from Bhagavatam, was not in the same orbit, same situation. The earth fell down, so Varaha Rupa Keshava Dhrita Varaha Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. He lifted. And while he was still holding earth, Varaha Rupa is holding earth. Varaha has two tusks, like a jungly Varaha. Not the Varaha, not the kind of pegs you see around Mathura. They have a tusk, like an elephant. So the earth is sitting right there on one of the tusks. And his Lord is known as Dharanidhar. You heard one of the names of the Lord is Dharanidhar. Dharani is earth. So he's a holder of the earthly planet. So while he was holding the earth, he sat down. Where was he sitting? At Vishram Ghat he was sitting. That means Mathura, Vrindavan was there where it always exists. These Mathura, Vrindavan did not fall down along with the earth. Earth fell down. Let it fall down. Or earth is also destroyed or dissolved or burnt at the time of Mahapralaya dissolution. But this Mathura Vrindavan remains intact. So in other words, as I'm sure you could imagine, earth was on the tusk of Varaha, means rest of the planet. Delhi was on the... Where was Delhi? On the tusk. Where was Agra? On the tusk. Everything else was part of that earth while Lord was sitting in Mathura on the banks of Jamuna. This also should give us some realization. One of the 10 offenses against the holy Dham is to consider Dham, Vrindavan, Mathura, to be part of some country, part of some state. But that's not true. A lot of time people wonder, oh, why is your God every time he has to appear in India? But that's also not true. Lord doesn't appear in India. He appears in Vrindavan. But to think that Vrindavan is part of some state, some country, some continent, this is an offense. Ignorance, in fact. We have Acharya, Brajacharya, Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who will visit his samadhi when we go to Barsana. His authority on Braj, Brajamandal Parikrama path and pastimes and what you do on Parikrama, the mood that you maintain on Parikrama and different rituals also you perform on Parikrama. Brajabhakti Vilas is the name of that scripture. He compiled many, many scriptures. And one that deals with Parikrama is Brajabhakti Vilas. So So in there, he explains that, you know, we understand, we have heard, we know that Shankarshan, Balaram's expansion, holds different planets on his different hoods. So he says, while Earth is on one of the hoods of Anantasesh, Vrindavan Mathura is held by yet another hood of Ananta. They are not on the same hood. And he gives a name to that hood called Kumudari. I think I'm pretty sure. Kumudari gives a name. Kumudari is the name of that hood that holds Vrindavan Mathura realm, while Earth is on another hood. So, Srila Prabhupada explains that like when governor goes to Kanpur or Nagpur or you know, some place, he has his headquarters, he has his quarters, he has governor's koti, his apartment. He doesn't just stay somewhere in a hotel or under a tree as we stay on Parikrama. He has his fixed place. Whenever he goes to that particular town, he has his place. So likewise, whenever Lord comes to this universe, when Krishna comes to this universe, he doesn't go to any one of those stars. You know, at the time, night time, you see billions of trillions. Of course, we don't see all the stars if you have a telescope and a device. But we see quite a few stars. So he doesn't go and appear on any other planet. He comes here. He comes to his Vrindavan. He comes to Mathura. He comes to Dwarka. He comes to Mayapur as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every time he visits this universe, this is it. This is the place. There is only one Vrindavan in entire Brahmand. That is why even demigods, they aspire to come down to this Vrindavan or this some sort of connection, earthly planet and this. And Mathura Vrindavan. But when you put a drop of oil on the top of water, does it ever mix? Oil drop in the water, it always floats. They seem to be together, same pot, you see oil, in the same pot, you see water, but they never mix. So likewise, Vrindavan, Mathura, and it's supposed to be on the same planet, earthly planet, but one day at the time of destruction, final destruction, Earth will go back to Mahavishnu's body, leaving Mathura, Vrindavan here. And Krishna is performing his pastimes eternally in this place. So Lord Krishna appeared in Mathura. That place also you visited yesterday? Last night you were there? Yes. So he was the eighth son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And Vasudeva and Devaki had little time with Krishna. And of course with Balaram, they did not even see the face of Balaram. Only when Krishna and Balaram had come, Akrur had brought them, and after killing of Kamsa, they had first time seen Balaram, and only second time seeing Krishna. But first darshan was very, very brief one. So like that, this is birthplace of Krishna, Mathura is birthplace. But then it took like 10-11 years to return to Mathura. So today you had opportunity to kind of walk on the same path that Krishna and Balaram followed. Today you went, right? Finally went to Kamsatila, the hillock on the top of which Kamsa was killed, and there's a Ranga, Rangeshwar Mahadev. So that way Krishna had come. And before that, Kubja's place, Krishna was coming that way. Going to the wrestling match was his destination, but he was following that path. And I don't know whether you were shown this chariot of Krishna and Balaram and Krur, a little place, little darshan, before Kubja's place. So, of course, the chariot did not come all the way there. So you are following kind of Krishna Balaram's footsteps today. So that day, Akrur, he drove chariot all day from Nandagram to, first of all, to Akrur Ghat. And there he thought, did I lose Krishna and Balaram? You remember yesterday we were talking of that. But luckily that wasn't the case. They're still sitting there. Then he continued his journey after Akrur had finished his bath and chanting of the Gayatri Mantra. And Akrur offered so many beautiful prayers at Akrur Ghat, and also a little later as they had entered, or they were about to enter Mathura. Akrur is known for one of the nine processes of devotional service called Vandanam. One process, one devotee, right? Hearing Parikshit Maharaj and speaking Sukhdev Goswami and remembering Prahlad Maharaj and Prithu offering worship and like that. Nine processes, nine devotees. So when it comes to Vandanam, then it is Akrur number one. He is at the top of the list of those who offer prayers to the Lord. So Akrur had offered prayers at Akrur Ghat, and of course on the way to Vrindavan also he was offering prayers. He is always offering prayers. His mood is that of a person who is always offering prayers, a prayerful mood. So, as the chariot of Akrur carrying Krishna and Balaram was about to enter Mathura, Krishna and Balaram, they proposed, no, we want to get down here. Could you please let us get down here? But Akrur said, but you have to visit my home. And Krishna and Balaram say, we are on a very important mission here. We have a mission. What is that mission? Killing Kamsa. And that will give relief to all our whole dynasty. And then peacefully later on we will We'll visit, for sure we'll visit your home, dear uncle, Akrur. So that time, Krishna and Balaram, they noticed, in fact, that Nanda Maharaj and so many other hundreds and thousands of cowherd men had already arrived in Mathura, and they were in fact waiting. Srimad Bhagavatam says that Nanda Maharaj and other cowherd boys, cowherd men, they're waiting to receive Krishna and Balaram. So Akrur, he had brought Krishna and Balaram in a chariot, and others were just driving their ox carts, riding on the back of the bulls, carrying big, big loads of milk products. Anyway, they say Akrur took Krishna and Balaram on a little longer path. He was not going on a traditional path. Hidingly, he was bringing Krishna and Balaram. He was worried someone may stop. Something may come up. I may not be able to bring Krishna and Balaram. So he was tactfully and in a tricky way, he was bringing Krishna and Balaram. And that took a little longer time for them to arrive. And that is how the others had already come, some shortcut way. And they were waiting for Krishna and Balaram. So that, around this time, Bhagavatam says it was almost end of the day when Krishna and Balaram arrived in Mathura. So they spent time with Krishna, with everyone else in a special garden, Udyan, Upavana, mentioned where they were staying, camping out. So next day, and I think we'll have to go a little faster. Next day, in the afternoon, it says aparanna means in the afternoon. It's before noon, and then afternoon. Yeah, in the afternoon. They wanted to see the town. So they go around, and lots of cowherd boys are accompanying Krishna and Balaram. And they're received the way, the beauty of this Vrindavan, Sukadev Goswami describes. In fact, Mathura is one of the seven Saptapuris, the seven celebrated cities of Bharat Varsha, or this great land of India. And Ayodhya is one of them. Varanasi is another one, Haridwar, Mathura, Avantipur, Ujjain, Dwarka, and Kanchipuram. These are the seven cities, well planned and beautiful, and wide roads and squares, and beautiful architect, and lakes, and cities. Excellent, the best cities in existence. So Mathura is one of those seven Saptapuris. So Krishna and Balaram, they're enjoying the sightseeing, the touring around. And then they came across a washerman. He's going to be meeting different parties on the way to wrestling match. Washerman carrying big load of clothes, and Krishna and Balaram, they were thinking, now we are in the city. We are not in the forest anymore. We should be wearing clothes just like a city folks. Huh? With a tie, yeah? So he asked for the clothes, Our washerman, he was not in the mood, so Krishna used his karagrahas, end of his hand, his part. And he was beheaded, separated from the rest of his body. And when the washerman was accompanied by other his colleagues, when they saw what happened to the head of the their head, they all ran, leaving all the clothes there. Then Krishna, they untied big bundles and put on the best clothes for themselves. Gave some to their friends, and still the lots of clothes were just left behind. But, you know, they were not their own clothes, so they're not fitting properly. So they go to a tailor shop nearby. And then he fixed up, and then they were nicely fitting. Once they had nice clothes, nice colors. Then as they proceed, they came across a gardener, the flowerist. And he welcomes Krishna and Balaram. Oh, how fortunate I am to have you, the VVIPs, as my guests, and the whole worship. And so chandan and garlands. No, not so much, not enough chandan. Maybe something was there. And as they proceed, then they had come across Kubja, Trivakra. She was bent in three places. Although very, very beautiful lady, but bent. So she had a chandan for Mathura Naresh, for the king of Mathura. But then Krishna and Balaram, Sisarada, this chandan would be just appropriate for you. And this whole dialogue that goes on. So she offers chandan for Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna was very pleased. And he wanted to reward that lady. So Krishna put his foot on her feet. Or foot, and holds here, and lifts. She was bending in three places. Krishna's foot was on her foot or feet, whatever, plural, singular, you want to. And then Krishna held her here and lifted. Then what happened, do you think, to the Kubja? She became straight. So this only thing she was lacking, everything else was perfect. Just she was bent in few places. And she was very thankful for such service, and she had also invited Krishna. Please, why don't you visit me? But not now. See you later. And Krishna and Balaram carry on. And they go, Swaha, Swaha. Wasn't that Chaturdashi? I think it was the 14th day. Shiva Chaturdashi? Some name like that. One day before Purnima. And there was a Dhanush bow, special bow. Shiva used to worship. And he, a whole festival, in fact, that was centered also around this Dhanush Puja. And people were coming thinking, this is a special festival. This Kamsa was trying to do a little cover-up. What it is? It's like a religious affair. So that no one would doubt that he had any bad intention, or he had some evil plan of bringing Krishna and Balaram and killing them during the wrestling match. So there, so Krishna and Balaram, They're standing there for some time, and they notice there is a bow. So Krishna moves forward. He picks up the bow. It breaks into two pieces. Then Krishna kept one. One he handed over to Balaram. And the party, the priests, and the chokidars, they noticed what just did the boys. They broke the special bow that was being worshipped. And yes, yes. And when that bow broke, made a big sound. And the sound was heard by, who do you think this was heard? Kamsa heard the breaking of the bow. And that time he realized, yes, the lords are here. My killer is not very far from here now. Because he was told when he was given this bow by Parshuram, said, yeah, anyone who breaks this bow is not a Supreme Personality of Godhead, only could do such thing. It's not any Tom, Dick and Harry's job. So when Kamsa heard breaking of the bow, immediately, you know, I'm in trouble now. And so those who are guarding this bow, they tried to attack Krishna and Balaram. But Krishna and Balaram, they had two pieces of bow, and they started fighting back with the bow and hitting in their heads and breaking their bones. And all those who are trying to fight with Krishna and Balaram, they're all put to rest, falling flat on the ground. As that path was cleared, now they were not very far from the hill, top of the hill where a wrestling match was planned. Now there's only one more obstacle, and that was the Kuvalyapid, the elephant, a very powerful elephant, not an ordinary kind from some circus. This elephant was property of Jarasandh to begin with. And Jarasandh had given this as a dowry. When he married his two daughters, Asti and Prapti, he married them to Kamsa. Jarasandh was a father-in-law. So when he handed two daughters over and also gave this Kuvalyapid elephant as a gift during that marriage. And this elephant was a powerful, was captured in the central India. And to capture this elephant, they had taken 100,000 elephants. And 100,000 elephant, what they call, those who sit on the top and they, Mahout, we call Mahout. Yeah. They're trying to surround and capture this elephant. It was very, very powerful. And took a lot of time and endeavor and battling with this elephant in order to finally capture. And this was a property of Jarasandh. And one time the Jarasandh was camping. One time he was camping on other side of Jamuna, and somehow the elephant came over to this side. And Kamsa noticed that this elephant was, whose elephant is this? He was not happy to see that elephant, or was one whose elephant. So he pushed that elephant. He pushed that elephant. Kamsa did. And the elephant was back into the camp of Jarasandh. He was like a little toy, like a little children push their cart or car or whatever. And it moves back, runs back. So he pushed the elephant, and the elephant was went miles, many miles in a river like a reverse gear. And when Jarasandh, hey, who is this? Who could do such a thing to my elephant? And he found out this was Kamsa. Then he was happy. He was pleased. And then later on he married his daughters to this Kamsa. So you could also see Kamsa also was very, very powerful. So this Kuvalya Peed was a last stumbling block on the path of Krishna and Balram. But there's a nice description of how Sukhdev Goswami describes how Krishna and Balram, how they were teasing the elephant, they were teasing the mouth and pulling the tail of the elephant, and elephant was going round and round, and they were hiding right under, in between the four legs. Under the elephant, they would be hiding, and elephant going round and round. Where are they? Where are the children? Where are the children? And then they run, and then elephant runs, and then children are running and stopping, and elephant is also running and stopping, and in like this, was losing his energy, and finally he collapses, and then Krishna and Balram, they climb on the top, and then beat or kick or do something, and finally they both pull the tusks, two tusks of the elephant, and now Krishna and Balram, they're carrying the tusk, the two teeth of the elephant, and that's how they're entering the arena. First of all, Kamsa had heard that breaking of the bow. But he still had hope. Oh, but I have a Kuvalya Peed. There is no way these children could defeat battle with my Kuvalya Peed. But when Krishna and Balram entered the wrestling match arena, what they were carrying? They were carrying the teeth. Kamsa, Mama, Uncle, here. Your Kuvalya Peed here. You're carrying. And then Shal Toshal and like the other five wrestlers ready to battle with Krishna and Balram, and they were killed. And finally Kamsa also was killed, Haribol. Good Haribol. And when Kamsa was killed, eight brothers of Kamsa, they came running. And Balram killed the brothers of Kamsa. And when like this lot of killing took place and everything was over, the ladies were crying. Then Krishna and Balram also joined those ladies, family members, and their uncle died. So he had to go participate in the service. They call what kind of service? Memorial service. Uncle's memorial service. So Krishna goes, and others are crying, and he's also crying. Such a nice mama, such a nice uncle, and he was here just now, he was here, he's no more, and he would say some nice thing about mama, kaka, uncle, and he would cry, and they also say, that Krishna dragged the body, dead body of Kamsa through the streets of Mathura, giving the confidence or declare, here he is. So when devotees were seeing dead Kamsa, they were joyful. And Krishna also took rest at Vishram Ghat after killing Kamsa, it is said. So that's another reason why Vishram Ghat is called Vishram Ghat, or place of rest. So like this, so that one mission was accomplished. You could read these further details in Krishna book or in Srimad Bhagavatam if you are carrying Krishna book. We just ran through it quickly. And then the meeting with Vasudeva and Devaki is described. Krishna and Balaram are meeting. But their mood was not same as Nanda Baba and Yashoda. Immediately you see, notice the difference. Nanda, Yashoda, they have one kind of mood. Spontaneous, vatsalya bhav, full of vatsalya. But Vasudeva and Devaki, Jagadishwaraha, they are supreme personality of Godhead. So they have this awe and reverence. They are trying to offer obeisances to their children. But Yashoda comes with a stick, or Krishna, no worship. That's how she worships Krishna. Threatens him, and Krishna is in tears and trembling his body, and can't even face Yashoda, can't even look at the eyes of Yashoda. So that's Yashoda, that's Nanda Baba. Nanda Baba says, "Bring my shoes." He asks Krishna, "I had to go, hurry up. Bring my shoes, I say." And then Krishna runs to get the shoes. But shoes are very heavy. He cannot even lift the shoes of his father. He's just a little boy. And after a few days or a few years, he's lifting that Govardhan hill. You're not able to lift the 1 kilo, maybe 50 gram each, one shoe. He was struggling, And when you have to carry a heavy object, where do you keep? On the head. If it's something light, carry a bag, or, few bananas in it, or little gamsha, then it's lightweight. Or sometimes shoulder bag, little heavier thing. A little more heavy, you keep them things on the shoulders. But if it's the heaviest thing that you had to carry, then it goes on the head. So Krishna was carrying those shoes on. For him, it was he had never lifted anything like that before, the heavy. So Nanda Baba is ordering. Yashoda is threatening. But in Mathura, Vasudeva and Devaki, they are all ready to offer puja and obeisances. Then Krishna and Balaram had to remind them, no, we are your children. Don't hesitate. We are yours. And then gradually they were taken into the lap, and then some tears. But that took some time. Krishna had to preach to them. Please accept us as your children. We are your children. Not gods. Forget it now. So, and then, it was time to go back to Vrindavan. Everyone was ready. But then, Krishna and Balaram, they were not ready. And this came as a big surprise to Nanda Maharaj. I mean, he thought they were all coming here together, and they would all go back together, back to Vrindavan. So they were ready, but Krishna wasn't. So now I need to stay here for some more time. Some missions coming up. Kamsa was killed, so he was expecting some more attacks, more threats, and this place has to be protected. So this news, this was a not easy for Nanda Maharaj to digest and but finally, there's a description of the feelings of Nanda Maharaj, his emotions, and also Krishna and Balaram. They are very, very expert, and of course, they are also genuine, not just talkers. They express their feelings, their gratitude towards Nanda Maharaj, and they're very, very, very polite and very humble, and they excuse themselves. "Please excuse us, Father, that we cannot accompany you. And please say this to Yashoda, and please say this to our cows, and please say this to gopis," and like that. So it was a heartbreaking experience for Nanda Maharaj to go back. "Oh, what I'm going to say to Yashoda, and how, what would I say to gopis?" And what to do? He had to go by himself. So many others were there, but no Krishna. So it's like a going empty-hearted. So now after this, Krishna and Balaram, they go to Avantipur, which is in modern India. It is called Ujjain. It is in Madhya Pradesh, on the bank of Kshipra River. Sandipani Muni's ashram. They had not undergone any formal studies so far, so they go and they join Sandipani Muni's school. Must be some famous school. And students had come from Gujarat. Sudama had come. Sudama, all of them. And other students from all over. They're all studying there in central India. And Krishna was learning lessons, 64 lessons in 64 days. And there are beautiful pastimes there also, many other pastimes. And then they come back to Mathura. And by the time they come back, and they were greeted in Mathura by the residents of Mathura. This was the time that Jarasandh was ready to attack Mathura. As we mentioned the connection, the two daughters of Jarasandh were the wives of Kamsa. So his son-in-law was killed by Kamsa. So he was ready to kill Kamsa, Krishna. So he had come with a big army, and then Krishna and Balaram had to fight with Jarasandh and his army. Krishna and Balaram took a small army on the other side of the Jamuna, Lohaban, between Mansarovar and Lohaban, as you would be walking on Ekadasi day. I think it's the 11th or 12th of November. So that you'll be walking through the battlefield. And so Krishna and Balaram, their strategy, he had come with a big army, bigger army than the army that was killed in Mahabharata war. And that size army he was bringing every year. And Krishna and Balaram, they would kill everyone else, sparing only Jarasandh. And he would look around, "I'm the only one." But Krishna would not kill Jarasandh. Then Krishna would, Kamsa, I'm sorry, Jarasan would go back to his capital in Bihar, then gather all his friends and come with second time and third time. And how many times he had come? 17 times. 17 times he had come. And 17 times Krishna had killed big army, and all these army men must be demons. If Jarasandha was a demon, then his friends must be also demons, yes or no? Yes. So what was the purpose? Why did Krishna appear on this planet? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadiskritam dharma samsara. To kill the demons. So who was helping Krishna to kill the demons? Who was? Wasn't Jarasandha rendering some service? He was gathering, he was bringing all the demons, and off here they are, Krishna, Swaha. We offer this unto your feet. Now you do as you feel, deal with them as you feel. And they were being killed. So this way Krishna did not have to go door to door, killing each demon. It would have taken a long time. But that means like a business, a retail business, and then there's a wholesale. So Krishna was doing wholesale killing. This happened 17 times. And meantime, of course, Krishna, he had promised Kubja that he would visit. So he had visited Kubja's home. Description you could read, Krishna visiting Kubja's home. Before that, in fact, and he was not alone. Krishna had taken Uddhava with him. And before that visit, Krishna had sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to visit all the residents of Vrindavan, visit Nanda Baba, Yashoda, visit gopis. Krishna had letters for different parties, for gopis he had letter. So Uddhava had gone and returned. And now they were, Krishna and Uddhava, they were visiting Kubja's place. So you could read more. So then it was 18th time now. It was time for Jarasandha to come for 18th battle. He had some kind of fixed month. He had a season, like a battling season. So every year he would come. So as he was expected, another person comes who also wanted to fight with Krishna. Kali Yavan. He was a big Shudra king, and he had big army. And he wanted to get a big name. So he was wondering, who should I fight with? Who is a big fighter or a big famous king? So then Narad Muni said, hey, I know. Come, Narad Muni said, I know. And Narad Muni gave address of Krishna to this Kali Yavan. You go. He looks like this. He gave the whole description of the idea of Krishna. And then he came looking for, he was traveling all over, and finally he came to Mathura. And Krishna was by himself. Krishna was walking out of the gate. And that time this Kali Yavan, he saw Krishna. And he had heard the whole description of Krishna's form, qualities, and क्या हो रहा है आरती शुरू हो गई हाँ ओके सो विल कैरी ऑन लिटिल लॉन्ग सो वी आर सो देन Because this was a Shudra king, and Krishna did not want this Shudra to touch him. So Krishna was trying to run away from him, and this demon was running right after him. And Krishna would only leave like a less than 1 meter distance between him and the demon. And the demon is to think, I'm going to catch him just now. Just this time I'm going to catch him. And as about to catch, Krishna would be a little ahead. But not too much ahead, otherwise he would feel discouraged and go away or something. And Krishna was playing balancing act he was doing. And Krishna ran, and this person was running and running and running. Krishna entered a big cave, and this person followed. This demon king followed Krishna into the cave, and Krishna very tactfully, as he entered the cave, he let his upper garment fall onto the ground on the body of another person who was sleeping there. So as this Kali Yavan entered the cave, he thought, oh, he was running all this time and now he is tired or he's lying down here. And he gave a big kick to that person who was underneath that garment of Krishna. And that person, of course, wasn't Krishna, but Muchakund. And Muchakund had a blessing or a benediction. He had done a lot of service to the demigods, fighting with the demons. And he had been fighting and fighting for months and for a long time. And he had, so when the battle was over and the demigods became victorious and credit went to Muchakund, he had a big role to play. And they said, please ask for a benediction. And he said, the only benediction I ask for is I like to have little rest now, good rest. I want to rest for a long time. And you please benedict me. So if anyone interrupts my sleep, that person, I'm going to be burning him into ashes. So this demon, Kali Yavan, he disturbed the sleep of Muchakund. And he opened his eyes, Muchakund, and with that, this demon was burned to ashes. Haribo. And Muchakund thus was benedicted by Lord's presence. And they offer prayers here for prayers and little encounter is there between Muchakund and Lord Sri Krishna. But then Krishna had to rush back. He didn't have much time, no relaxed time, because he was expecting. Who was he? Was he expecting? Jarasandha. So he rushes back on the scene of Mathura and he comes for 18th time. But before 18th time, sometime earlier, all the residents of Mathura were transferred to Dwarka. And Krishna had borrowed some land from ocean. And then he had built a very strong, sturdy fort. Everyone was deposited there. They're all placed there. And he did that overnight. And next morning, Krishna was back in Mathura. In the evening, he took everyone. Everything was built, palace, everything. Everyone was well placed, and Krishna returns to Mathura to have a good fight with Jarasandha. But in fact, yes, this time Jarasandha was ready to fight, but Krishna and Balram, they did not show any interest in fighting with Jarasandha, and they started going away and Jarasandha was following and addressing Krishna as Ranchor, 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 coward. See, he's afraid of me. He doesn't remember what happened 17 times before. And now he calls Krishna as a coward. So Krishna thought I have some more. This is a routine now. It's a ritual. It's a boring thing. 17 times I did this. I can't do this every year forever. I need to do something more important, more pleasing. And his Rukmini was waiting, and he had to go kidnap Rukmini, and he had so many other things. Not in the Bhajamekathala. So Krishna and Balaram. And Jarasandha followed with the army. They had no chariot, no horses. They were just walking, running. And Jarasandha was running behind and riding on a chariot. And then Krishna and Balaram climb up a big hill. And Jarasandha tried to find. Well, his whole army was searching, looking for Krishna, and they couldn't find Krishna and Balaram. They had climbed up the top of the hill, which was 88 miles tall. 88 miles tall, they were up there. So as they couldn't find Krishna and Balaram, they put whole forest on fire. You'll be burnt. We couldn't find, that is okay. They'll be just burnt to the ashes. Thinking like this. And then, of course, Krishna cannot be burnt, cannot be cut. That's kind of personality, Sachidananda Vigraha, he is. And then they jump down and they walk to Dwarka. And then just a few more things about Mathura is that Krishna, after Krishna had killed Shishupal in Hastinapur, Dantavakra, who was residing in this area near Mathura at that time, he became furious, very, very angry. They're members of the same family. And he had news that Krishna killed Shishupal, so Dantavakra wanted to kill that Krishna. But he had become so angry that he lost the sense of direction. He knew that Krishna was in Dwarka, but there was no way he could have gone in the direction of Dwarka. So Narad Muni had come. And what's the matter? He asked Dantavakra. He said, I want to kill Krishna. But difficulty with me is I cannot go where he is. Could you please arrange so that he comes to me? And Narad Muni said, no problem. He goes to Dwarka and he gives the news. You know, this Dantavakra wants to kill you, my dear lord. Could you please go and help him out? And then Krishna was ready, and Krishna comes and says, near the gates of Mathura, Krishna landed. He came in his chariot in a matter of seconds. He arrived and they battled, and Dantavakra was killed. Then Vidurath, his brother, also wanted to fight with Krishna, and he also was killed. And this killing took place in a place called Datiha, near Shantanukund. You will be there in a few days' time, not far from there. We do not visit this place, but you could just remember that while you are in Shantanukund, Datiha, the place where Dantavakra was killed. And then, that time, after killing these last two demons, Krishna comes to Vishram Ghat again. He's taking a little rest there. And he throws all his weapons into Jamuna. I have nothing to do with these weapons anymore. I don't need them anymore. And of course, he had never forgotten the promise that he had given to the residents of Vrindavan, especially gopis. So it was time for him to go back to Vrindavan. So that is what he does. Krishna goes back to Vrindavan. And residents of Vrindavan, you know, they had gone to Kurukshetra also. At the time of sun eclipse, Krishna had arranged for residents of Vrindavan to come and meet him there in Kurukshetra. This is not at the time of battlefield of Kurukshetra, but another time. So that time also, the residents of Vrindavan had idea, when we meet Krishna, who is now coming from Dwarka, we'll bring him to Vrindavan. And as they were sitting in the chariots, they're trying to pull the chariots, Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra, three of them are sitting. But that time again Krishna said, no, I will come. I will come. But not now. I'll have a few more demons to kill. A little more mission outside Vrindavan. So finally he had killed these last couple of demons. And then he goes to Vrindavan side. And he noticed that the residents of Vrindavan, those who had come to Kurukshetra to meet him there, and finally, with great reluctance, they had come back to Vrindavan without Krishna. But as they arrived in Vrindavan, they do not go to their homes. But they were just kind of waiting at the entrance of Vrindavan. And they're all together waiting. Because he has promised us, he will come. For sure he's going to come. Today or tomorrow, he's going to be coming. So they were waiting. And finally, as they heard the blowing of the conch shell of Krishna's returning to Vrindavan, he's blowing his conch shell. And when they heard, they were all delighted and they jumped and screamed in joy and danced and rolled on the ground. And they all shouted, Ayore, 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 he's come, he's here, Krishna is here, Haribol. And they were just joyful, simply wonderful and happy. So I think these are some of the pastimes, just the names of pastimes or different Krishnas in and out of Mathura and different things related, Krishna, Balaram related things with Mathura. Just some little food for thought as we are here. And a lot of filling in the blanks have to be done, that you could do as you read Krishna book, as you read Bhagavatam, and there's some Goswami literature. Okay. Any questions or comments? Anything that you want to add?